Hi, it's Joe Crump. You're about to hear a recording of a live teleseminar. Before it starts, I wanted to let you know that there have been some developments in the program I'm teaching on this recording, and I've put a four-minute explanation of these developments and tacked it onto the back of this recording, so make sure to listen to that information at the end of the recording. Thanks now. Hello, everyone. It's Joe Crump. Welcome to the call. We got an awful lot of people on the line tonight, and I've got it in moderator mode so you don't have to listen to each other's noise in the background. The title of this call is How to Buy New Construction Homes in 10 Weeks and Retire in 1 Year with a $45,000 Annual Income. I'm going to show you how to simply and easily buy 10 brand new houses in 10 weeks and cash out 3 of them in 1 year for a $45,000 cash in your pocket profit. You're also going to keep the other 7 houses and realize about $105,000 in automatic equity gain on those without needing the market to go up at all. The monthly mortgage on these properties will be paid by the tenant buyers, and these tenants will already be in place before you close the deal. I think this is a no-brainer program, and I'm going to show you how you can get involved tonight if you want to. I'm also going to talk about the risks of investing in real estate like this. It's not all roses and sunshine. Nothing to do with money ever is, I guess. I guess it's true with life in general. I'm going to talk about all the things that might go wrong on deals like this so you can be prepared if they happen to you. I'm also going to show you why the way I've set this process up protects you and creates a virtual safety net for you if these problems arise. I wouldn't make an investment like this without understanding it, and I don't expect anyone here to do it either. So let's get on with it here. A little over a week ago, I cut a pretty amazing deal with a network of home builders. They've been so impressed watching the number of homes I've been helping investors buy who are on my list here, you guys, and the amount of properties that I've been buying personally that they, as a group, agreed to work with me on this little idea that I had. You see, I knew that every day these builders have people come into their model homes who want to buy a house. Unfortunately for the builder, not all those people qualify for the loan. They've got credit issues of one sort or another. Most of them are good people. They have jobs. They have income. But something in the credit has kept them from getting a conventional mortgage. Well, what's unfortunate for the builder is going to be very fortunate for us. I told this group of builders that if these buyers they had, if they were interested in buying the builder's new homes on a lease option, and if the builder would sell me these homes at a discount, then my group of investors would buy every property they could send me, because that would make them complete no-brainer deals for us. After a good deal of back and forth, they agreed to give it a try with 100 homes. But they didn't want to deal with 100 separate investors, so they told me that they'd only do this if each investor committed to 10 properties each. This makes it easier logistically for them. So that's why I set it up as a 10 homes in 10 weeks program. If this works out, they said that they'd consider giving me more properties, and they'd consider allowing investors to buy fewer houses than 10 each. To the best of my knowledge, no one has ever done what I'm about to do on the scale that I'm doing it. No one's ever set up a way to buy and own properties exactly like this before, and no one has ever convinced a group of builders to give such a good deal on this many properties all around the country. And these aren't junk properties either I'm talking about. They're the brand new construction homes in excellent, family-oriented growth cities all over the country, and they're not just in one state or city that we're buying, buying 50 homes in one subdivision. Most of these, we're only buying like one home or just a few homes in a subdivision. Now, before I explain how this all works, let me explain how I got here first. Over the past few years, all of my real estate investing training programs have been designed to help folks like you guys build a real estate investing business. I teach how to create systematized, automated real estate businesses that'll serve you for the rest of your life. Now, you know the old saying, give a man a fish and he eats for a day, teach a man to fish and he eats for a lifetime. Well, I've always loved this philosophy, I still do, and my training programs have always been designed to teach you how to fish, how to build a business that'll support you in really fine style for your entire life. But this new 10-house program is completely different. This new program gives you the fish. Because of what I've set up, you don't have to do the work. You just need to say, Joe, do it for me. Then, with the system that I've set in place, we take over, everything else is done for you. And I'm not kidding here. I know how crazy this sounds, especially coming from me. I'm the guy that always says, you don't do the work, you don't make the money. It's a business. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. But I was talking about building a business. This is a little different. Now, still not a get-rich-quick scheme, but you don't have to do very much work here. This is about buying real estate as an asset rather than working real estate as a business. And I'm not blowing smoke here. It really is that easy. Lately, I've been telling everybody that the success rate of my mentor students is about 20%. 20% succeed and 80% fail. And in my defense, I should say here that 80% don't fail because of the business techniques that I'm teaching. The techniques have been proven over and over again. They really work. It's also not because my students are a bunch of lazy couch potatoes. My students are smart, good folk who want to improve their lives, and many of them are good friends. They're good friends even if they don't succeed. But sometimes life just gets in the way. You know, we all lead busy, busy lives, and it's often very difficult to take the consistent action required to build a profitable business. And by the way, I know that a 20% success rate sounds bad, but most mentor programs only have a 5% success rate, so I'm still 400% better than they are. Nevertheless, I think the 20% statistic is depressing. I've been trying to fix it for a long time to increase it, and I've been doing that gradually. It goes up a little bit every year. But I also believed it'd be possible to exponentially increase my 20% success rate all the way up to 100%. Everyone that got involved could succeed. But to do that would require something radically different, something so revolutionary it'd blow the socks off of every other investing program out there. To get a 100% success rate would require that the work to find the properties, make the deals, arrange the financing, get the tenant buyers, manage the property, and coordinate all this stuff. These tasks would have to be performed by someone other than the person I'm trying to help succeed. I mean, let's face it, not everyone is cut out to do this kind of work. People are too busy. Most folks are never going to do it on their own. So the only way to increase my students' success rate to 100% is to do the work for them. I got an email from a guy not too long ago. I think I wrote about this in my email to you about this call. He might have been trying to be funny. I wasn't really sure. But the email went like this. So, "Dear Joe, here's my offer to you. You find me the houses, find me great deals, get me the loans so I don't have to invest much money, manage the properties, find me a buyer, and sell the houses at a profit. If you do all that for me, I'll split the profits with you." And sincerely, and he put his name. Essentially, he was saying, if I did all the work, he'd give me half of all the money I made. You know, how generous of him. Why would I do that? He's nuts, I mean, right? If you know anything about real estate investing, and I know a lot of you on this call do, you know what he's asking is a complete pipe dream. Right? Nobody is going to do the work for you and then give you half the profit, right? Well, before I came up with this new program, I would have said the same thing. He's dreaming. But now, with my new program, everything has changed. What he and his naivete was asking me to do is now actually possible. I've been designing, building, and sweating over this new program for almost a year, and it's finally come to life. If you qualify to work with me, you can get me to do all the work, and I won't take a dime of your profit. In fact, I won't even charge you to do it. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not getting paid. I'm not doing this just for fun. It's just that you aren't the one who has to pay me. I'll explain how I get paid as we go along here so you really understand what I'm doing. So with that said, you can retire in 1 year with a modest $45,000 annual income by selling 3 of the 10 houses you buy, and at the same time you can build substantial wealth in real estate by keeping the other 7 houses, and we do all the work for you. I mean, this is a new paradigm and a new way of thinking, and when you see how it all comes together, your worldview on this is going to change. But nothing is perfect, and here's the bad news. The biggest problem is that even though I've got 40,000 people in my investor list, and we've got over 500 people on this call tonight, I can only do this program with 10 people. The deal I cut with my builder network only allows me to have 100 houses. It'll be a first-come, first-served basis. So 10 investors times 10 houses each equal 100 houses. And it's still going to make sense for you to sit here and listen to this call, because I think you're going to learn some interesting things about how to structure deals, how to work in the real estate business, even if you don't get involved in this. And I think it's also possible that we can do more here in the future as time goes on. Now, also, just a note, I'm going to give my first notification list first crack at these 10 spots. This is a very small group who have proven to me that they're serious investors, either by buying a house from me previously or by putting $1,000 in escrow. And I'm not charging them to be on this list. That money, that escrow money, sits in escrow, and then when they decide to take one of my deals, it goes towards the purchase of their first property. And they can have it back anytime they want, if they went off the list. I figure nobody's going to put up money like that unless they're serious. So I'm giving them an edge over everyone else on my list for jumping through this hoop for me and identifying themselves. If you'd like to be on that list, you can still do it. You can do it right now if you want. Just go to this website and fill out the escrow agreement. It's at joecrump.com/firstcall, joecrump.com/, that's a forward slash, it leans to the right, first call, firstcall. That's all one word, all lowercase. This site gets you on the first notification list, so you can get first crack at these deals and the other deals I come up with in the future. This is not the website to sign up for this 10-house program. I'm going to give that to you a little bit later. As it stands right now, I've only got 10 slots for investors. I'm hopeful that when we get these houses sold, I'll be able to go back to the builder and renegotiate. I can't guarantee anything, and I may not pull it off right away, but after we do this first set of 100 houses, I'm going to try and do it again. If you don't get one of the first 10 slots, I'll put you on a waiting list for no charge and let you know where you sit on the list and then notify you as soon as I cut another builder deal like this. And believe me, if I get a big waiting list, I'm going to try very hard to expand this deal I've got with the builders. Okay, so only have 100 homes is problem number one. The other problem is that not everyone who wants to do it will qualify. You must have a credit score of 680 or more and enough money for a down payment for one house to make this work. And by the way, you'll get that entire down payment back in less than 2 weeks after each closing, so you can use the same down payment to buy the second property, the third one, and on and on. If your credit score is close to that 680, we can sometimes make this work, but keep in mind that the lower your credit score, the higher your interest rate, and if it's too low, it's just not doable because the cost is too much for you monthly. If you don't know what your credit score is, there's a lot of websites that you can go to and find out. One of them that I've seen is truecredit.com, truecredit.com. They have all three credit bureaus on that site. Make sure you use a company that gives you all three credit bureaus. If you have credit issues and you can't do this program right now but would like to do it in the future, all you need to do is clean up your credit. It's really not that hard to raise your score. I wrote a book on it that you can buy. It's at cleanyourcredit.com. You can also hire someone to help fix your credit. One company I've heard good things about is Lexington Law Firm, lexingtonlaw.com. They only charge a couple $100. Don't pay anybody thousands of dollars to fix your credit. There's a lot of scams out there, and it's not worth it for that. All right, so that's kind of the overview of the program. Now let me get to the nuts and bolts of how this process works and how I came up with the numbers that I was spouting to you earlier. This is going to be easier if you got a pencil and paper to take notes, by the way. Let's start with an example deal. This will give you a better idea of how this program works. All 10 deals will be substantially the same. The price range of the properties we'll be buying is going to be between $125,000 and $225,000 approximately. The purchase price of these homes will be the full appraised value of the properties. You're going to be paying appraised value and then receiving 10% of that appraised value back after closing. So effectively, you're buying these properties at 90% of their real value. By the way, these values are real values. They're not artificially inflated. My mortgage broker does three different forms of appraisals to verify the accuracy of these values. First, the broker has a conventional appraisal done by a third-party appraiser, somebody that's not connected with the builder, and this one appraiser is all that's required by the lender in order to make the loan. The second appraisal our broker does is called a broker's opinion, a real estate broker's opinion. Once again, he finds a third-party real estate broker who's not connected with the builder and asks them to pull us comps in the area and do a full written broker's opinion. And by the way, this is the type of appraisal that a bank does when they're paying for it. If you're taking out a loan, they ask for a full-blown appraisal. If they're trying to determine the value of a property that they own, they'll have a broker's opinion done. This is because it's way cheaper and it's still very accurate. The third type of appraisal our mortgage broker does is a computer-assisted model appraisal. He can only do this type of appraisal in areas that have tax records online, so most of these deals will have three appraisals. The reason we spend so much effort getting a good appraisal is to protect four people in the process. First, the lender. They have to have an appraisal done so they don't loan out more money than the value of the home. Second, I want to protect myself. I want to make sure that the price I'm giving you is accurate. I want you to be happy with the investments you make so you come back and you buy more properties. And I want the values to be accurate because I personally am buying some of these properties. Third, we're doing these appraisals for you. You need to know what you're paying for and that these houses are worth what you're paying for. And fourth, the mortgage broker who sets up the loan with the lender. He wants to protect himself. He's the guy that's doing the four appraisals. He wants to be sure that he can never be accused of mortgage fraud. One of the biggest problems in mortgage banking today is appraisal fraud. If you've been investing in real estate for any time at all, you've probably come across a lender, a broker, who is willing to push the appraisal to get a higher value on the property than it's really worth, and in doing so, get a higher loan amount. This is how a lot of investors and mortgage brokers are able to get zero down or near zero down loans. Some mortgage brokers even make it possible for investors to get under the table cash back at closing by using inflated appraisals. These mortgage brokers put themselves at great risk of going to jail. This is mortgage fraud. So that's why our mortgage broker is so keen not to inflate the appraised value and to prove that he didn't. He tells me he doesn't look good in orange. Now, we're able to get cash back at closing without anything even remotely resembling mortgage fraud because of the deal that I cut with the builder. The deal structure I used has been used legally for many, many years in the real estate industry. It's called an option. I purchased an option to buy the properties in bulk from this group of builders at an agreed-upon discount. And incidentally, the only way I got the prices I did for you was because I committed to buy in bulk. I'm on the hook. So when you close a deal I set up, I exercise my option, and my company receives the total profits from the deal. I then keep my portion of those profits and pass the majority of that money that I received from the builder on to you. That spread is how I'm paid. My company is acting as a principal in the transaction. That means we have ownership rights, and that gives us the right to buy the property and the right to sell or assign the right to buy the property to you. We're not acting as real estate agents in this transaction. I have a broker's license here in Indiana, but I'm not representing anyone but myself. You don't need a license when you're selling your own properties. You only need it if you're representing someone else. Each of the 10 properties you buy in this program will have a separate purchase agreement, and you'll be agreeing to purchase each property for cash or cash equivalent. Now, it doesn't have to be cash from your pocket. In most cases, it'll be cash from a new loan. My company agrees to pay you 10% of the purchase price of each property after closing. This money is given as your share of the profits in this joint venture within 14 calendar days after closing. Okay, I hope I'm not getting too technical here, and I hope I'm not putting you to sleep. This is still a lot of, there's still a lot of exciting stuff that we've got to come here. But I know that there are some pretty savvy investors on this call, and I wanted to make sure that you understood exactly how I'm doing these deals. If you don't understand everything I just said, take this one thing away from you. We're putting these deals together so that they make sense financially, legally, morally, and ethically. Everything is documented and disclosed in writing. Okay, so let's get back to the typical deal, and every deal will be a little different. I'm just using this deal as what I think is going to be an average example. So we get a house, $150,000 appraised value. You're going to get a new loan to purchase the property. To qualify for that loan, you need good credit. That means a credit score of 680 or better. You don't need to verify your income. We're using stated income loans. Although we have zero down loans, the interest rates are too high, and if you use them, you'll have a high negative cash flow, which I don't suggest. I suggest that you put 5% down on these properties and get a 95% loan-to-value new loan. So you'll need 5% as your down payment and approximately another 5% for closing costs, so about 10% total to close the deal. So let's take an average price property of $150,000. We're going to buy 10 of these, so ultimately you're going to end up with about $1.5 million worth of property. To close a $150,000 property, you're going to need about $15,000. Within 2 weeks after closing, you're going to get that $15,000 back. Remember, I said you'd get 10% cash back? You can then use that same $15,000 to buy the next property, and the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. Just because you're buying $1.5 million in property doesn't mean you need 10% of $1.5 million to buy it. All you need is 10% down on one property, in this case $15,000, to buy all 10 properties. I hope you're starting to see why this is, thing is so cool. Okay, let's. This is hard to do this kind of thing with properties that you find in the MLS or foreclosures or any other types of deals. It's just because I'm able to strike a deal like this with the builder that makes this work. Okay, so let's continue the process with just one property. You paid $150,000, full market value of the property. You put 5% down. You paid 5% closing costs, a total of approximately $15,000. You got 10% back after closing. That's $15,000. The lease option tenant moves in, and you receive the first month's rent payment, which in most cases will cover your mortgage payment, taxes, and insurance, PITI. That brings us to lease options. I know most of you already know what this is, but let me explain real briefly what a lease option is. A lease option is where you give a buyer the right to purchase a property at a predetermined price and within a predetermined time period. During that time period, they lease the property from you at a predetermined monthly price. Now, there are a lot of ways to structure lease options and a lot of things that you can add and subtract to them, but here's how we're doing our lease options. They're going to be 3-year lease options, but our goal is to get them to buy within 1 year, so we give them some incentives to do that. The price they agree to pay if they buy within the first year is 5% over your purchase price, over current appraised value. The second year, the price goes up another 5%, and so does the monthly rent. It also goes up 5%. And the third year, the price goes up another 5%, along with the rent again. So if they exercise the right to buy the property in 1 year, you'll make about 10%. They do it in 2 years, you'll make about 15%. In 3 years, it's about 20%. Let me show you how this works based on the example deal that I mentioned earlier. $150,000 house, and again, these properties are going to be all over the place in price, but I'll get to that later. But $150,000 is going to be a pretty good average. So $150,000, you owe 95% of that, remember. You put 5% down. So you owe 95%, which is $142,500. They're paying you 5% more than the original appraisal, which is $157,500. So their purchase price is $157,500, you owe $142,500. Remember, you have virtually no money into these deals. So the difference between what you owe and what you're selling the house for is $15,000. That's 10% of the original purchase price. You need to subtract a few thousand dollars for closing costs, and keep in mind that the seller closing costs on these deals are much lower than your buyer closing costs, so even after this expense, you still make a very sweet profit for doing virtually nothing. On top of this, lease option buyers are responsible for taking care of the property. They don't call you to unclog the toilets or fix problems. We tell them that they're the lender, we tell them that we're the lender and they're the buyer, that if they have a problem, they need to deal with it. We say, if you had a loan with Countrywide and your toilet gets clogged up, do you call Countrywide? Well, of course not. It's the same with us. You treat us like a lender because you're buying the property. This is why lease option tenants are so wonderful, other than the fact that they feel that they're buyers and they're going to take better care of the property. So if all 10 lease option buyers exercise their options, you'd end up making about $150,000 cash in 1 year. And that would be nice. But I can tell you, it's pretty unlikely that all 10 will exercise their option in the first year. In fact, I'd be surprised if 5 of them exercised the option. The average that I've observed is about 30% of lease option buyers will exercise their option most in the first year. Most of the rest of them will continue to rent, even though their rent goes up, which means your monthly income and the ones you don't get bought go up. So if you buy 10 houses, it's a fairly good bet that 3 of them will cash out in 1 year. If that happens, you'll receive 3 times $15,000 profit on each property, so that's about $45,000, and that's how I came up with that $45,000 price. If only one buyer exercises their option, you'll only get $15,000. If 5 exercise their option, you get about $75,000. If none of them exercise their option, you won't get any cash in your pocket, but it's still a pretty attractive deal. You still have properties that are cash flowing, the rents continue to go up, the values of the properties continue to go up, you get the depreciation benefits that lower your taxes, and you have someone else buying you an asset. Now, there's no way to know who's going to end up exercising their option. I can only tell you what I've experienced in the past. My best bet would be that about 30% will do it. I can't guarantee that 30% are going to buy. It may be more than that, it may be less than that. Okay, so after 1 year, the likelihood is that you're going to make a nice little chunk of money. So that brings up the next comment I always get. But Joe, if I make money, I got to pay taxes, don't I? I don't want to pay capital gains taxes. Well, in my opinion, it's always better to pay taxes because you made money than not to pay taxes because you didn't make any. I want to make money. If I have to, I'll worry about taxes when I cash out. But On these deals, you don't have to pay taxes on your profits if you don't want to, at least not while you're alive. You can defer taxes by doing a simple 1031 exchange on these houses. You just need to keep them for a year and one day. After that, you can sell the house and use the proceeds to buy another house in exchange, as long as it's of equal or greater value. But you can take the profit out of the sale of the first house, and after the money goes through a 1031 accommodator, which almost any title company can set you up with, by the way, you can put that money in your pocket. All you have to do is buy another house using the same loan structure as this one, where you don't really have any money into it. You finance it the same way, you don't have any money into it, just like you don't have any money into the one you just sold. And guess what? I'm planning on being around next year to sell you more houses to replace the ones you sell. Okay, so let's say that three lease option buyers exercise their option and three of your 10 houses. That means that you made $45,000 cash that you can spend right away and not pay any tax on it if you buy another house with a 1031 exchange to replace the one you just sold. If you don't buy more houses, you'll have to declare that money as taxable income. So it makes sense to buy more houses. It'll save you a ton of money in taxes, and it'll make you more money next year as well on those same properties. But you still got to keep the money, even if you don't do the 1031, or even if you don't want to buy more properties. But even after these three properties are sold, you still have seven houses, right? I mean, that means you've got seven times $150,000, so it's a little over $1 million in real estate. You still have tenants making payments on your loans, and if they buy in the second year of their lease option, they're going to pay you an extra 5%. So the sale price has gone up from $157,500. To $165,000. Remember, you still have a loan that you owe $142,500 on, so you now have an equity spread of $22,500 on each property. So each property, seven properties, $22,500 times seven remaining houses, that equals $157,500 in real equity. I hope I'm getting your attention with this stuff. These numbers are just amazing. If none of the lease option buyers exercise their right to buy, it is very likely that the values of these properties will match inflation, which runs about 5% a year. Now, just a note, nobody knows for sure where home values are going to go, and I'm certainly not going to claim that I can guarantee this either. But the price range of properties that we're dealing with have a very good record. I won't go into all the benefits of just owning property for the long term here. That's contained in a completely different seminar I gave, and you can download it for free, by the way. There's a free recording of it if you go to this website. Let me give you the website for it, joecrump.com/long-term, L-O-N-G-T-E-R-M, all one word, all lowercase, joecrump.com/long-term. And there's a free audio there you can download about long-term investing, which I think would be very good for you to know, very good for you to listen to if you haven't listened to it already. But even though I'm not going to go into too much detail about why owning property for the long term makes sense, I do want to cover depreciation. It's very exciting. I love it when the IRS gives me tax credits that don't make any sense. But they do. I mean, it's absolutely true. The IRS gives you allows you to depreciate your properties even while they're appreciating in value. That's crazy. In most cases, the IRS will allow you to depreciate real estate over 27 and a half years. That's a wonderful thing. So what's happening is your property value is actually increasing, but the IRS is saying, oh, no, we'll let you depreciate the property because it's getting older. We'll let you lower it in value and actually give you annual tax credits for the loss of value in that property, the wear and tear. Now, I don't know why they decided to do it. I don't really care, but they've been doing it for a long time, and it's a wonderful benefit. The way you figure the depreciation on a property is a little different depending on the type of property you've got and what you're going to do with it. But in general, you can depreciate residential property by 27 and a half years. So you divide the property tax basis, the amount you paid for the improvement, not the land, by 27 and a half, which comes out to about 3.64% of the property cost. I hope I'm not going too fast for you here, and I hope you're taking good notes because I've got a lot of numbers I'm throwing out at you. So you bought a $150,000 property, and the land is worth, let's say, $20,000. That means you take $150,000 minus the $20,000 for the land. That means that you've got $130,000 as the value of the improvement. The improvement is the house. That equals $130,000 as your tax basis, the actual tax value of the improvement. Take that $130,000 times 3.64%, which is the same as dividing it by 27.5, and that gives you 27 and a half years, that gives you about $4,700 of depreciation on that property that you can write off against your taxable income every year. Now write these numbers down. It's going to make it easier to understand when you're looking at them. Here's a depreciation example. Let's say you made $75,000 on your job in a particular year, and you currently have 10 houses that you bought for $150,000. Each of those houses is depreciating at a rate of about $4,700 per house. That means you've got $47,000 a year in deductions from your gross earned income, assuming you can take this as active income. And there's different rules about that. But if you do it right, you can take it as active income. That means you can take $47,000 off your $75,000 income, which would mean that you only pay taxes on $28,000 of income rather than $75,000 that you actually made. If your tax bracket is 40, 45, 50%, that means you just saved around $20,000 in real dollars out of your pocket for something that you didn't do anything to gain other than own these properties. So if you control these 10 properties, you're going to get this depreciation, and it doesn't matter whether you've paid these properties off or not. It's still based on the original purchase price, the original tax basis of the property. If you have questions about this stuff, talk to any good CPA. They'll understand exactly what you're talking about, and they can show you how it'll impact your taxable income. All right, let's talk about negative cash flow. Is it possible for your payment on these deals to be higher than your monthly rent amount? And the answer is yes, it's possible. We're set up to get the entire PITI, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance for these properties as monthly rent if you get a 95% loan, although there's some exceptions if your credit's not as good as it could be. Sometimes lower credit scores will increase the interest rate in the payments. Also, property taxes can go up. We don't have any control over that. We're trying to be as accurate as we can on the taxes, and most of them are going to be very stable, but on new construction, the exact amount is not assessed until after closing. It's also possible to get a bad lease option tenant who stops paying their rent. If this happens, you want to get a property manager immediately and have them evicted. If you need some guidance on this, and if it happens, call us and we'll give you some ideas. Then you want to have that property manager find you a new tenant as quickly as possible, either a lease option tenant or a regular tenant, whatever you decide. I want to go into negative cash flow a little further because I believe it's what scares people the most and keeps people from ever buying real estate, especially if they're thinking about buying 10 properties. But negative cash flow on investments like this is just not that bad if you're prepared for it and if you bought right to start with. Now let me read an email that I got from one of my subscribers. Hi Joe, this question is about one of the properties you're selling in Texas. I noticed on your website that the mortgage payment is more than the rental income, causing you to have negative cash flow every month. I understand about appreciation and tax write-ups, but in this case, these properties are taking money from your pocket every month. Why would you buy a property if you're going negative every month? I wrote him back, and here was my reply. Let me answer your question with a question. See if you can figure out what it means. If I said to you, for every $100 you put into your bank account each month, I'll deposit $900 into that same bank account for you. The only condition I have to giving you this money is that you can't pull the money out for 10 years. But I'll make one concession. After just 3 years, you can stop putting money into it altogether, and I'll continue to put my money in. In fact, I'll put your $100 in for you in addition to my $900. After 10 years, you can draw out the $120,000 in cash if you want, and I'll stop giving you money. Or you can leave the money in the bank, and I'll continue to put $1,000 a month in the bank for you, plus I'll give you an additional $1,000 a month in cash every month for you for the rest of your life, and you can spend it on anything you like. You can even borrow against the money in the bank, put it all out, and I'll still make my payments to you. I'll even continue to give the money to your kids after you die for as long as they live, and the same with your grandkids, and on and on and on, as long as they keep that original money in the bank. And one more thing, I plan to live a long time, if you leave that money in the bank, you'll never have to pay taxes on it. Now, just to make things a little bit sweeter, I'll even increase the monthly cash I give you by 5% each year to help you cover the cost of inflation. Now, if I was willing to do that, to give you money like that, how many $100 a month would you come up with? I mean, would you come up with just one? Would you come up with two, five, ten? it's not a matter anymore of how much you would come up with, right? Now it's just a matter of how much could you come up with, because it's a complete no-brainer, a way to build a fortune and retire with a monthly income in just a few short years. That was the end of my email to him. You see, the scenario that I just read takes a look at negative cash flow, how a property will go up in value over time, how rent will eventually come up and the negative cash flow will turn to positive cash flow, how a property will pay off over time, how there are some really amazing tax savings that you can have by owning property. I could spend an hour just talking about this little scenario, but suffice it to say, an affordable negative cash flow makes a lot of sense. Negative cash flow is not such a bad thing when you look at the big picture. Yeah, I know, it can create a bit of stress at times, but you should be setting aside money for your retirement anyway, and this just forces you to do it. A nice thing about this 10 houses program is the way I've structured them, these deals will have very little negative cash flow, if any, and should pay off in a very short period of time, some of them in as little as 1 year. So don't let the fear of negative cash flow stop you from getting wealthy. All right, next subject, finding tenants. The real beauty of this 10 house program is that the tenants are already in place when you buy them. This makes the things pretty easy and pretty stress-free. I don't have this feature built into my other programs, and it's not hard for us to find tenants, but it usually takes a month or two. But on this program, since you've got lease option tenants, the question that I've been getting is, should I hire a property manager if I have a lease option tenant, someone who's planning on buying the property? And the answer is, it's your call. If you do, you'll have to pay him roughly 10% of the monthly income to the manager. So if the property is renting for $1,500 a month, that's $150 or so. Good property managers can be worth their weight in gold if you have a lot of properties. If I didn't use property managers, I'd probably be hunched over a toilet in one of my properties right now trying to clean out the toilet or dealing with an irritated tenant trying to collect my rent. You know, I'm happy to let a professional handle it for me and to pay them for their service. On the other hand, lease option tenants tend to be less management intensive, and that's what you're going to get with this program. I'd suggest that you try it for a few months without a property manager after you close the deal. If your tenants turn out to be more maintenance than you want to deal with, hire someone to deal with it for you, someone local to the property, because with these properties, they aren't going to be local to you. The houses aren't. It's possible that they'll be completely painless, that your tenants will be completely painless, and that you'll get your rents on time, and every month the check will come without fail. You know, why would you want to pay somebody $150 to deposit a check for you? But let's say they don't buy the property and they decide to move out, or worse yet, they just stop making the monthly payments and you have to evict them. And by the way, I never do evictions myself. I find it really unpleasant. It doesn't make me have a good day, and I hire an attorney to do it, or a property manager to do it. An attorney typically will charge about $500. A few of my property managers actually don't charge me a dime to do an eviction, which is something I try to negotiate with them up front. But it is possible that you might have vacancies in these properties. The answer is yes, it's very possible, but eventually, it's actually likely that you're going to have a vacancy if it lasts long enough. There are probably going to be vacancies, if not right away, within a year or two. There are going to be times when you don't have a lease option tenant in your house. That means you're going to have to make the payment on the loan without getting rental income. This is really frightening for some people, and rightfully so. I can hear that voice in the back of your head right now. Oh no, how am I going to come up with a mortgage payment if it's vacant? I only make $5,000 a month, you know, in my job, and that's a big part of, you know, that monthly payment would be a big part of my income. I can't afford that extra payment. I just wouldn't be able to make it. I'm already in the red with too much debt, too many payments. I don't want to take on more. If something like this is going through your head, I suggest you solve the problem by keeping some money in reserve to cover possible vacancies before you get started. Just set aside a couple of months' payments to cover yourself when you get into the deal. Leave that money in the bank and don't touch it. As long as you have that set aside, you'll be fine. And the likelihood that you'll have more vacancies than that are very small. So be prepared. It is possible. It could happen. As much as I hate to say it, the lease option buyer could move out and the house could be vacant forever. You may never get a tenant in there. But that is so unlikely and will probably never happen if you buy in the areas and have a halfway decent rental market. You can also put properties like these on the market and sell them pretty quickly if you have to. You might have to take a few lumps, but that way at least you could cut your losses. Now, this has never happened to me, by the way, in this way. I've lost plenty of money in real estate, but not in this situation, not because of tenant vacancies. I've always been able to find tenants for my properties. Did you know that more residents rent single-family houses than own them? So it's not that hard to find a tenant. A lot of people don't have the credit and don't have the desire to own a property long-term. They're just looking for a place to live. 1 year, 2 years, 5 years. I've seen people who rent their entire lives. That always amazes me, but it's the case. So don't worry about finding a tenant. It's not as big of a problem as you think it is. And if you have a few months of payments set aside in a bank account, just sitting there waiting for that day, well, you'll be fine. If you look at the overall statistics of vacancies for single-family homes in the country, 3 or 4% vacancy is normal nationwide. That means over a 100-month period, about 8 years of time, 3 of those months are going to be vacant. And can you afford 3 4-month payments over the next 9 years? Yeah, you probably can. Just put a little bit of money aside every month and cover your expenses. But what if you have a 10% vacancy rate? That could happen too. If you had 10 properties with a 10% vacancy rate, that means that one of your properties would be vacant 10 months a year. That means you'd have about $800 a month going out. If that would eat you up inside and you can't set aside the money for reserves, I suggest that you do not do this program. But I can tell you from personal experience, it'll be well worth it when the property pays itself off in 10, 15 years, or in these cases, if after a year people start buying them out. And then when you retire and start collecting the monthly cash flow, it's worth it. Also, remember, your first payment is not going to come until at least 30 days after you close. So that'll give you a little cushion there, because with this program, you're going to have your tenant paying rent from day one. Most of the owner-occupied loans that you get require that you have a little money set aside anyway. They call it reserves. The bank wants to know that you can pay that monthly rent if you don't get a tenant in there. Also, keep in mind, we're giving you all the money you're investing back after closing. So don't spend that money, or don't spend all of it. Save some of it for reserves. If you have $0 to invest, these types of deals are not for you. I teach a lot of other types of programs with zero down, no credit. There's a lot of other ways to do investing in real estate. These will not work for you. Those types of deals, the other ones with a zero down, that's a business, and you have to do something to make those things happen. You have to have an activity. You have to follow through with a process. If you've got capital to invest, this vacancy issue that I've been talking about is not going to be a problem for you at all, because you know that the money you spend is going toward a good investment. It's not like money you're losing. Your investment just continues to grow. It's going to be much better than if you put it into a CD, or if you put it into a mutual fund or a 401k or any other place. I read an article on the CNN Money website the other day written by a mutual fund guy. He believes that the best investment you can make is to put your money in mutual funds. Well, he's a respected old guy, a pretty famous investment counselor. He said that real estate wasn't a bad investment, but that if you look at the past 15 years or so, real estate has gone up 150%, while the stock market has gone up 250%. So stocks must be better than real estate, right? But he forgot one very important thing: leverage. If you put $10,000 into the stock market and made 250% over the past 15 years, you would have made $25,000. That's pretty good, right? And that projection is actually a lot better than what you would have made in mutual funds over the last 10 years in the real world. But if you use that same $10,000 as a down payment on a $100,000 rental property, and that property only went up 150%, like he was saying, you just made $150,000 on the same $10,000. Let me see, which is better, $25,000 profit or $150,000 profit? Real estate blows away every other investment device out there for the average mom-and-pop investor. There isn't any contest, and the risk is probably less with real estate than it is with the stock market. And on top of that, you don't even have to invest the $10,000. You don't have to invest anything, so you have an infinite leverage here. Of course, the biggest risk that you can take with your money, in my opinion, is doing nothing. All right, I get off my soapbox on this stuff. I'm probably preaching to the choir with you guys anyway. Otherwise, you wouldn't be on this call. All of these houses that we're buying are brand new. They've never been lived in before. And I like to buy new construction. If you buy new construction, you know that you've got new equipment in the house, new furnace, roof, plumbing, everything brand new. If something goes wrong with it, you've got warranties on most of the equipment in the house. Also, there's going to be a warranty on the house itself. We usually get two 10 warranties from the builders. That means that all the functions of the house are covered for 2 years, and the foundation of the house is covered for 10 years. If something goes wrong with the house, the cost will be taken care of by the builder, by the warranty, not by the property manager or the tenant. So it won't cost you a dime. The property manager, if you've got one, just needs to make a call and get it taken care of. There are some very nice advantages to buying new construction. It's also easier to find tenants for newer construction if you ever have to do that in the future. People like nice new homes. Okay, where are the properties in my 10 home program located? We've always been told by people with experience that it makes sense, if you're going to buy rental properties, to buy them within 30 minutes of where you live. That way, they're going to be easy to get to. You're going to be able to manage them properly. You're going to be able to drive by them. You're going to be able to see if they're still standing. There are a lot of advantages to owning properties in your home city. And if you're managing them yourself and have your own real estate business, I agree with this philosophy in theory. But if you're not doing the management yourself, or if you're structuring the deals the way I'm doing with this program, or if you don't have time to drive by them, and by the way, that happens very quickly as your portfolio begins to grow. As soon as you own a few properties, it's hard to get by them all the time, even if they're just down the street. I went by a house I owned the other day, not far from where I live. Not because I had to go out there, I have somebody else managing it. It's just that it's on a main street, and I happened to be driving by there, and I looked at it as I drove by at 40 miles an hour, and it looked pretty good, and I realized as I was driving by that even though it was 10 minutes away from my home, I hadn't been there for over 2 years. If you're at all like me, if you don't have time to go buy your properties, if you don't have time to manage them, if you don't want to deal with your tenants, if you don't want your tenants knocking on your door, then it might make sense for you to buy real estate outside your home city or even outside your home state. My philosophy is, rather than buy them where you live, buy them where they make the most sense. It just doesn't matter if your properties are close to you, because you're not the one managing them. What matters is it a good investment? Is it just a good deal, and will it make sense if you end up keeping it for the long term? This is important here. Even if you buy these properties with the idea that you're going to unload them for a chunk of money after 1 year, which is what we're doing here, on a lease option on a lease option buyer, all your deals should make sense for the long term. If they aren't good long-term investment, the risk goes way up. If you're relying only on appreciation, the risk goes way up because you can't predict that for sure. If you're relying on selling them for sure on a certain date or within a certain time frame to your lease option tenant, the risk goes way up. I believe the best properties to buy are properties that I can rent or lease option on short notice with little or no negative cash flow. That's why I don't buy $350,000 condos in Florida that rent out for $1,200 a month. I don't want a $1,500 a month negative cash flow on a property at any time. Anyway, the properties you buy don't have to be in your area. They just have to make good sense. The builder network that I made this deal with builds houses all over the country. We may get properties in 46 of the 48 lower states. The only two places, the only two states that we're not building is in California and New York. The price ranges go from $75,000 all the way up to $500,000, but you don't have to buy the high-end stuff. I personally will probably not buy anything from them over $250,000. And the average price range is probably going to be in that $150,000, $175,000 price range, maybe a little higher. We're working with a lot of builders in this network. They include D.R. Horton, Pulte Homes, William Ryan Homes, Ryland Homes, Clayton Homes, All American Homes, Nation Home Builders, Carolina Homes, Crestmark Homes, Compass Homes, Holiday Builders, GFV Homes, and there's about 500 small local builders as well around the country. The types of properties that we're buying are going to be single-family houses or condos. The condos will be either ranch-style garden condos, or they'll be one, two, or three-story condos. So any type of residential properties, single properties. You won't be required to buy any homes that you don't want. We're going to offer them to you based on where you are in line to buy them. And if you don't want one, you can pass on it, and we'll just put you at the back of the pack for the next round until it gets to your turn again after, and then you'll be offered the next one. You do need to qualify for these homes. And let me tell you briefly what you need to qualify to buy 10 homes. First of all, you need good credit. That means a credit score of 680 or higher. I had a guy ask me the other day, he said, I've already got 5 houses. Do you have a lender that'll loan me money on 10 more? My credit score is good. My answer was, yes, I do. We can probably get you up to 20 homes if you have good credit. After that, we may be able to get you even more, but the interest rate tends to go up, so there might be some other options for you when you get to that point. You'll also need 10% of the purchase price of the most expensive home you buy as your down payment and closing costs. You'll get that 10% back after closing. The bank also wants to see that you have some money in reserve in case there's ever a vacancy. They want to see 6 months of reserve. Now, this money can be in the form of home equity line, a 401k, insurance policy. It does not have to be in a bank account. And there's some flexibility on this, too. And if you're not sure on this, I'll have you talk to my mortgage broker. You do not have to verify your income for these loans. What we do are called stated income loans. They do not verify employment or income, and they do not require a copy of your tax returns. If you want to document your income, you can sometimes get a little better interest rate. If you put more money down, you can also get a better interest rate. If you put 10%, say, down instead of 5% down, your interest rate will drop almost 1%. On a $150,000 house, that comes up to around about $100 a month. But it's not possible for everybody to do this. And it may not even be logical for everybody to do this. So I've set these deals up so they work, as I've explained on this call, based on a 95% interest-only loan with stated income. It's really easy to get into these loans, and the lender we've been using for our projects makes things very easy for you. I get comments from people who've done these loans with him I hear all the time from him, and they're saying he's easy to work with, he's a pleasure to work with, so we've got a good lender. If you want to use your own lender, you can. We do ask that you put up $2,000 earnest money instead of $1,000 earnest money on your property when you do that. Our biggest problem has been with lenders who don't perform. Okay, so by now you probably have a pretty good idea of whether or not you're interested in this 10-house program. Now, I think it's a complete no-brainer. I keep repeating myself on that, and I'm personally going to do it. Let me explain how the process works and how you can get started tonight. In a minute, I'm going to give you a website where you can go and sign up to buy the 10 properties. When you fill out that website form and send it to me, it puts you in line to get these properties. I'll email you back a day later, tomorrow, and let you know where you stand on the list. As I told you at the beginning of this call, I've only got 10 slots right now. So if you're number 11 or higher, you'll be put on a waiting list. Now, hopefully it won't be too long before I'm able to get more of these properties, but I don't want to commit to more than I can do right now. Please don't fill out the form unless you have good credit. If you don't know what your credit looks like, find out first online and then fill out the form. If your credit's a little below 680, go ahead and fill it out. I know we got somebody through with like 667 once. If it's much below that, I can't guarantee anything. Anyway, go ahead and fill it out. We'll save you a spot and get you in touch with a lender. If he says you can't do it, we'll go on to the next person in line and give you some suggestions about how you can get your credit in shape for the next batch of properties that we've got. It's really not that hard to fix your credit, and we definitely want to work with you. After that, I'll go back to my builder group and get them started sending me houses. It may take me a week, it may take me a month before we start identifying your 10 properties. Remember, this is the first time I've done this program with them, so there are bound to be a few kinks that we have to work out. I'm going to ask you in advance to please be patient with us. All these houses are brand new construction. Some of them will already be completed and ready for our lease option tenants to move into. Some of them will be built specifically for the lease option tenant and will take 2 or 3 months to complete. You'll be required to put $1,000 earnest money up for each property you buy in escrow at a title company until closing. That money will be applied toward your down payment. You don't have to get a construction loan on these deals, and you don't close your new loan on the property until the building is completed and ready for occupancy. That means you have no interest cost or any loan cost until that happens. We're going to have an inspection done on the house, and it'll be emailed or mailed to you, usually in a PDF file. I'll pay for it up front, and then you'll reimburse me out of the 10% I'm giving you back. It usually runs a couple hundred dollars. We usually get a deal because we have the lender do more of them for us. When the loan is ready to close, the title company will overnight the loan documents to you. You'll be asked to sign them and send them back with a check for your down payment and your closing costs, and it's got to be certified funds, or you can wire the money. Once the title company gets the return package with all your signatures, they'll close and fund the loan. Your tenants pay their deposit and first month's rent and are allowed to move in at that time. You'll only get the first month's rent. The deposit will go to the person who brought in that lease option tenant. Then, within 2 weeks after closing, you'll get a check from my company for 10% of the purchase price of the property. Once you get that money back, hopefully, it'll be time to close your second property, and you'll be able to stagger the closings so that you can use the same 10% over and over again. After that, you just have to cash the monthly checks from the tenants and pay the mortgage until it's time for them to exercise their purchase option. It's a pretty straightforward process, and it takes very little of your time. Again, I think it's a no-brainer, and I'm personally going to do 10 properties myself. And by the way, I'm already on the list, and I'm in position number one. There've got to be some perks for this job, but that actually means there are really only 9 spots left. Okay, I think that's everything. Let me give you the website you can go to and get yourself put on this list if you want to. By the way, in all the emails I've been sending you about this conference call, I promised the folks who are on my first notification list that they would get first crack at these 10 slots. You can still get on that list by going to this website, joecrump.com/firstcall, FIRSTCALL. First call is all one word, all lowercase, joecrump.com/firstcall. This list requires that you put $1,000 in escrow. I'm not charging you to be on the list. That money's going to go towards the first house purchase, whether you buy into the 10 homes and 10 weeks program or whether you aren't able to get on one of these and you buy other properties that I sell. You can have the money back at any time you want if you decide that you want to be taken off the list. But as long as you're on that list, you'll get first crack along with the other folks who are on that list at any investment properties that I sell. So if you already faxed me the first notification escrow form, you'll have a priority placed on the list. That website again is joecrump.com/firstcall. Okay, so now let me give you the website where you can go and put yourself on the 10 properties in 10 weeks list. Remember, by going to this list and putting your name there, by going to this website and putting your name there, you're telling me that you want to buy 10 of these properties, that you have good credit and access to enough money for at least 10% down payment on one property. Please don't sign up unless you're serious. There's no charge to sign up, so I'm going on the honor system here. The web address is joecrump.com/signmeup. So joecrump, joecrump.com/, that's the one that slants to the right, sign me up, signmeup, sign me up, joecrump.com, sign me up, all lowercase, all one word. Now, these slots are going to fill up pretty fast, so get yourself signed up right now. All right, well, that's it for tonight. Thank you all for listening in. I look forward to working with as many of you as I can in the upcoming months and years. I want to tell you how much I've appreciated the compliments and thank you notes I get almost every day from folks that are on my list and are getting my newsletters and emails and all that. You make this job really rewarding, and that makes it a lot of fun. So have a great evening. Goodbye now, and I'll talk to you soon. Hey, everyone. Joe Crump again. Thanks for listening to this recording. But since I recorded it 4 days ago, I've got some updates for you. First of all, after the recording, the 10 slots filled up very quickly. As a matter of fact, within the first minute after I announced the web page to fill out, 33 signups came in almost simultaneously. At the time of this recording, we've had 60 people sign up to buy 10 properties each. That's a total of 600 properties, and I haven't even released the recording yet. Releasing this recording will probably double that number of investor buyers over the next week. If you do the math on this, with an average price range of $150,000 times 600 houses, that's $90 million in real estate. Not a bad response for a one-hour teleseminar. The last I heard, the very top-producing residential real estate agent in the entire United States sold just under $100 million in real estate, but it took him 1 year, and he had the help of 15 assistants, and that guy is considered a marketing god in real estate agent circles. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because I want to put into perspective what I did in 1 hour last Thursday. And I want you to understand how it's going to help me negotiate as a group for more deals like this. It really puts us in the driver's seat. And by the way, I expect to double that amount of signups over the next week, so we'll be approaching the $200 million mark. On one hand, this is very good. It proves that you're not alone in thinking this program is a good deal, a no-brainer, as I stated on the call. But the problem is getting all the properties I need to make it happen. I've already been promised the first 100 properties that I told you about, and we should be getting those done in the next month or two. On Friday, after the call, I immediately got on the phone to my builder contact and told him what had happened, and it just blew him away. I don't think he'd ever experienced such a powerful group of investors before. You guys are something. Having a truly responsive group like this will make it possible for me to find other bulk real estate deals around the country, and we'll all make money. Anyway, my builder, who's provided me with the first 100 homes, very much believes that he can get me the properties that we need, but that it's going to take some time to make that happen. Now, how much time yet? We don't know. So here's what I'm going to suggest in the meantime. If you're listening to this and you haven't filled it out yet, fill out the Sign Me Up form and get yourself on the waiting list for this program. I think there are going to be quite a few people putting themselves on this list, and you want to do it as soon as possible and reserve your spot. We may not get to you for a few months, but it'll put you in a position to do this, and it doesn't cost you anything to be on the list. And I ask you to please only do this if you're dead serious about buying 10 properties, that you have a 680 credit score or higher, and that you have the money for a down payment on just one property. So to go to the sign-up page, it's joecrump.com/signmeup, joecrump.com/, that's the one that leans to the right, sign me up, signmeup, and that's all one word, all lowercase. And just get yourself on that list now. Now, before you get discouraged by the wait, let me give you some other options that I think that you might find pretty attractive, and these are options that you can take advantage of right now. I'm going to have pre-construction houses almost every week that you can buy. It's a little different structure than the way I've set it up on this call, but they're still great deals. They take a few months to build, but you can get some really nice properties this way. I also have a few properties right now because of investors who bought from us but didn't follow through with their purchase. These are in pre-construction. They're in the process of being built now. And usually these people who didn't follow through, they did it because of their credit, or they had credit issues that they didn't tell us about earlier. If you're interested in what I have now and want to find out what I've got, just send me an email and I'll make sure you get the list. In addition to these opportunities, I'm also looking for other deals that make sense. If you've got something that really makes sense, and we're buying in bulk here, and I'm not interested in one or two types of properties, but I'm looking for bulk properties. Let me know what you've got, and I'll take a look. And I'll also let you guys know what I come across if I come across something good. So sign up now. Reserve your space in line. And I guess that's it. Thanks a lot for now. I look forward to working with you in the future. Thanks now. Bye-bye.